Denise Stoner, a retired Floridian and member of the MUFON National Abduction Research Team, has claimed to have been abducted by otherworldly beings at least 50 times that she can remember. According to Denise, her experiences began when she was just 2.5 years old and continued on throughout her entire life. Every time she has been taken, she describes a being with the features of a typical gray alien, except for her escort being taller than the often described 4-foot-tall creatures. As early as 1993, at what was perhaps the height of the alien abduction experience phenomenon, Whitley Strieber, author of the best-selling book Communion, reported receiving 55,000 letters from persons claiming to have been alien abductees. This well-documented but rarely studied aspect of the UFO world occupied the public imagination for much of the late 80s and well into the 90s. For most major news outlets, it seems the novelty of the reports of humans being taken aboard mysterious interstellar crafts or communicating with entities not of this planet has waned considerably. But still, reports of mysterious encounters with strikingly similar details continue to be reported. This case file joined the theorists as they contribute to the ongoing discussions and deconstructions of the extraterrestrial interest in human reproduction and wild accounts of alien seductions with another series of introductions to cases concerning alien abductions.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 233, Alien Abductions, Roman numeral 2. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
We're back, baby.
And none of us.
We're back every week.
We're back every week.
We haven't gone anywhere.
This time feels like it's been a while, though. I don't know. Maybe it's because we didn't do any bonus content really this week or something, but it's felt a while.
It's a busy week, man.
Yeah. I missed you guys.
Yeah. We didn't do anything.
Yeah. You know what? That being said, too, the group chat has been kind of silent.
We didn't fight on Messenger once this last week.
No yelling. No text yelling.
We had no arguments. Everything was going smooth.
No passive aggressive texts.
What the hell? That's pretty funny. Very true. I think we're just busy week this week. Yeah, I think everyone that's around the horn was busy, other than Dan.
Dan's just chilling on the beach,
living life. Some would say a different kind of busy. Getting busy, maybe.
Hey, oh. Alien abductions, Roman numeral 2, way back in the day. I believe it was me and Dan and Byron did alien abductions 1. And I don't even remember what we talked about.
So it probably sucked then.
Probably.
Missing all the fucking
talent. Pretty sure we did a general rundown of most alien abduction cases. I think we might have touched on Betty and Barney Hill, like the OG alien abduction case in this sense. And then, but we kind of talked about a couple of ones. You know, this one, when we brought up the topic of alien abductions and doing this, I think it's really hard to nail down like very typical cases of alien abduction, since A lot of the details will vary from case to case, which is strange and something that I think can be remarked on. But specifically, when you guys mentioned this one, the first one that you guys put out there was the Clayton and Donna Lee abduction case that I got to dig into, or that we took a look at. So
we peeked at it.
We looked at it.
We thought there was going to be more.
I know exactly what happened. You guys pulled it up on a website and you're like, that's a lot of words. Let's do this one. And then Dan actually read it and was like, that's not a lot here, boys.
Yeah. Those words all say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a very succinct case. I guess you could say. When you guys brought it up, so this specific case, I guess you could track it back to December 2005. And the when it first appeared on kind of in the media, it was from like a local channel 6 in Orlando. And there were claims made by Clayton Lee and his wife, Donna, who apparently came forward and they claimed that they had actually been contacted by extraterrestrials more than 20 times. That statement, though, when I kind of looked at it, I'm not sure if they mean like together, which I thought would be interesting. You have a married couple being abducted by aliens, which is very much like, you know, strongly resembles the case of Betty and Barney Hill. And if you kind of look at it, going through for this case, like looking through abductions, I thought something interesting to try and look up was to be like, oh, married couples having alien abduction experiences, because that's something that would be really strange. And when I looked at it, there's actually not that many. Clayton Lee and Donna is a very singular case, at least from what is put forward in the, probably the one that came most, or where they got their most airtime, was on the, was it the O'Reilly Factor?
Right.
Honestly, where, like, I feel like it would be hard to get any airtime now. Like, if I went to the local news and was like, hey, me and the old lady, we've been both getting abducted by aliens. They'd be like, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Right. Yeah, we'll send someone around to take your story. Cool. Like, I don't think you're getting airtime. Dude, 2005, you got to think about the time this was, I'm surprised this made the news and it wasn't on Maury.
Right? Like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's bring out Clayton and Donna, who said they have extramarital affairs with aliens. I took the lie detector test and we determined that's the truth.
Well, no, they didn't take a lie detector test. They got asked if they would, and they said no. They laughed about it. Yeah. But I remember, like, both their initial encounters, they weren't together, right? Because they both happened, like, at least with Clayton, he was a kid when he had his first encounter, right?
That's right.
Clayton claims to have been in contact with ETs, or had contact with ETs, like ongoing experiences since childhood. According to him, he said that, like, his first experience that he remembers is that he recalls being playing in a park in the city from where he was from. And then he felt this, he had a sensation, something, and then just realized that he was floating in the sky, his words. And then the next thing he knew, he said he could, like, see the stars. So he was either being, like, pulled through up through the atmosphere.
Fell through the tire bridge is what happened.
Yeah, he got conked for sure.
Right?
Well, that's what
he did. He lost consciousness. So, I mean,
what kind of kid's playing at this? Like, how's there no witnesses? There's no kid that's playing in a playground by himself unless Clayton's kind of a fucking nerd. But, like, there's going to be other kids.
How old was he? It doesn't really say.
I don't think it puts a specific age on it.
Like, if he's a kid,
okay, so
a kid,
looking at the video, I'm going to say he's getting close to 50.
When he was abducted.
His original one we're talking about is when he was abducted at the park as a child and he was floating up in the sky. But he never says how old, but he could have been 10 and been playing at the park by himself.
Yeah, yeah, he's probably the type of kid that's fucking pushing 70s. His pet rock on the swings or something. Fucking nerd.
but for him, what makes the really he has a scar on one side of his torso.
No way.
He says he can't explain or account for, and he believes that scar is from one of these alien interactions that they had done something, experimented.
Dude, I got patches of hair on my back that I feel the same about. Where I'm like, where did this come from? This is new. It wasn't here yesterday. It's brand new.
Yeah, please. You're just getting abducted by aliens and they're just shaving off hair, I suppose.
They're putting hair plugs in your back.
Yeah.
But Clayton claims to have been at least abducted 10, maybe as many as 20 times during his lifetime, like up to, like, this is from 2000, like the interviews that they did, like it only really got, I guess it went through really like a 2-month news cycle. Like, it was out there. They made it to like the O'Reilly Factor, and then it kind of falls off of that.
And come on, let's be fair. The O'Reilly Factor, that's the fucking peak. That's peak television. Yeah,
Where are you going to go from there?
Come on.
It does have strong reach.
Let's be honest.
But that interview, I mean, you can kind of tell from Bill O'Reilly's attitude, just the questions he's asking are like really softball questions. And they're like, they're not really.
Oh, it's a fluff piece for sure. Like, it's to kill 5 minutes at the end of a segment.
Not even 5 minutes. It's like, maybe 3 to 5 minutes tops is how long that
interview took. They didn't have any good footage of the fucking hamster water skiing or anything like that. So they had to go to this fucking shit.
And it's hard to tell with Bill O'Reilly because he always kind of looks like an asshole. So it was hard to tell if he was just being one to them or it was just his normal look. But he didn't ask really anything. Like the most pressing question was, yes, well, why don't you take a lie detector test? And both of them said, like, well, we were there. We know what happened. So we don't feel the need to, we're not here to prove it to anyone. We're just here to share our experience. We're just here
on TV.
To be on TV. We want our 15 minutes of fame. And we want to let other people who may have had this experience and they're not reaching out, that there's organizations and stuff that can help you. And
well, because
discuss these things.
Unfortunately, like Clayton, he had a few different experiences, but Donna seems like it makes sense to me that they're kind of wanting to get their story out there because it sounds like Donna's had a far more traumatic experience from these abductions, right?
Yeah, Clayton was. We've talked Clayton about
got off easy.
Yeah,
we've talked about like lifelong abductees before. It's like they grab you as a kid. You know, they do their experiments. Let's say. They take their measurements, they take their samples, they come back every year or whatever, their whole life and see like, so that's kind of like that theory.
You've
like,
been tagged. It's a tagged animal, right?
Yeah. And they come back as you grow up and they keep taking samples and see, like that's kind of the theory. Like
they're exploring the human aging process.
Exploring all angles. And then, Donna's experience though is something quite.
So quite Donna different. Donna was asked about, you know, describe, you know, what it, natural question to ask an abductee. Well, what did they look like first? So she describes, or she had descriptions for what the actual ship felt like and what they look like. And she described them as being human, but not quite human. Tall, slender, and blonde.
Nordics, you know, baby.
Nordics.
Yeah, the Nordics.
Fucking cells.
My ancestors.
And then Donna would go on to describe the actual ship itself. And she just, she claimed that it was very cold and made of some type of metal. At least is the feeling that she got. Now, Donna's experience also included, she claimed that she had actually had a fetus taken, that she had been pregnant at one point. And then after one of these abduction experiences, she felt that she was no longer pregnant.
Pickle baby.
And we've heard this before too, right? We've talked about a story similar to this.
Yeah, right. With married couples though, it's like with isolated people, well, getting implantation and then, you know, yeah, getting the fetus removed.
You know what's interesting is sorry, Braden, to interrupt. I'll let you get right back to it. But like you know how we're talking, these people are tagged, right? So what happens if they put them in the same path together? Like they put them in this relationship together. You know what I mean?
Somehow.
To watch them age and study them together.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so I had that same thought, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because when you read her accounts and stuff, and they say she always says, both of them say they didn't use their voice, they don't talk, but they can telepathically tell you and make you feel things, right? In these situations. So two of the things that stuck out to me about this was everything they kind of described seems very scientific. Like they don't want to interfere too much. So it's like, yeah, we'll pull you out. We're not talking. We're not engaging here. Right. Do our thing. And away we go. But if they're able to project feelings onto, like they have whatever telepathic abilities they have, they can project emotions onto people. Perhaps they can do just that, like playing Cupid, right? Shooting arrows. They put them in a chance meeting, right? And they project these feelings of love or lust and these good feelings when they see each other to basically manufacture this relationship together. So then they can not only study the growth of these two humans, but what happens when these humans are in a relationship, and they can study the reproductive habits and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was very interesting.
So an alien dating game.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. It's alien Tinder, boys.
Yeah, it's brought to you by Nick and Vanessa Lachey.
No, Alien
coming
Matchmaker.
To Netflix soon.
Yeah,
Alien dating game.
I mean, like that's quite the horrific experience, right? Like she obviously, like she was pregnant. She had this experience, and then she was no longer pregnant. And like, not to discount her story at all, but it like got me thinking. Like, that's a super traumatic experience. Whether you know, somebody elects to go get a similar procedure done, and you know, in an abortion, whatever, right? Or a miscarriage, whatever happens. Like, that's a super traumatic experience. And it made me wonder, it's like, what if this is just like an extremely traumatic experience that she's somehow like had, like, let's say like a retrograde amnesia from it and blocked it out. And then she's getting pieces of it back. Cause you talk, like, you listen to her and it's like a cold steel room, all that type of shit, the way she describes the procedure. And it sounds very clinical, right? It sounds like it could have taken place, in a terrestrial environment. There's no reason why it couldn't have. And maybe that's like her excuse, it must have happened by aliens because I never would have chosen to do this. Or
but then again, you're getting Clayton on board as well. So you're saying that he's suffering, reeling from the same loss. Like,
or maybe he's just like, it's a lot easier if we believe that the fucking aliens came and took this than if this happened in real life. Maybe he's playing along with it.
That leads us to our next person here, Susan Clancy, which was a Harvard University.
Susan Clancy was the psychologist that they worked with.
Well, that's what before. I mean. They didn't go public until they talked to this girl, Susan Clancy. And Susan Clancy was never a believer in the ET or abductee phenomenon, but she was more.
She was.
Well, no, she wasn't a believer.
She just.
She was more interested in the experiences of like the trauma and
which
stuff.
Which is the same with like John Mack and like those guys and those people who like have studied alien abductions. It's that most psychiatrists or people who are, academically trained, clinically trained psychiatrists, like the ones who do get into this, like they at least they claim they might actually be believers. That might be a core belief that they just don't want to put out there because, everybody will think,
you lose your spot.
It's not very academic.
Yeah. I'll give you the Gary Nolan treatment.
She said that she was interested just in the phenomenon of the alien abduction claims, like why the experience of how there are so many people making these claims. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Is it, is it aliens?
The other or thing, is it some the thing other? That bugs me. Psychological thing that bugs me about of someone being like, hey, listen, I'm only into the claims of UFOs, but you know what I'm really into? Hypnosis. Right?
Well, it's proven science. I'm not into aliens, but I'm into proven science, and I know a ton of people. They're not smoking anymore. Yeah. All right, they don't want fucking smokes.
They don't want smokes.
Hey, all because of this. I dangle this little pocket watch. It's science.
Yeah, I learned this from Dr. Sprinkles.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Sprinkles. Look at, you want to see this person clucking like a chicken? I'll do it right now. Dr. Sprinkles.
We call this the Sprinkles.
That's
special.
Science. Yeah. That's right, baby. That's science.
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm like, you're really not into aliens. You're interested in the story, but you're big on hypnosis. Okay. I was like, I'm getting kind of mixed messages here.
So looking into it, like, I'm not 100% sure whether Susan Clancy was the one who recommended the hypnosis or the hypnosis came prior to them meeting with Susan Clancy. Like, I'm not 100, like the way the story, like some of the going into the research and reading like the different articles about it, I'm not sure Susan was like, this is what we need to do or would have recommended doing that. But I think maybe
she partook.
But I think how it kind of went is that because Donna and Clayton had these experiences or they had some kind of inkling in the back of their heads that something was going on, they did the natural thing. I mean, this is 2005. So 2005, people know about alien abduction experiences and kind of the go-to treatment or to unlock those secret memories, you have to go regressive hypnosis. That seemed to be the...
I mean, Dr. Sprinkles is a household name. This isn't 2005. Everyone knows.
The X-Files has been on the air for so long, so everybody knows that's what you do. That's to in order to get to those memories that have been blocked out by some sort of
I seem to remember, like, I 2005 is a big year for me. I graduated. I seem to remember that being the year of sprinkles. Like, I just everywhere you went, Dr. Sprinkles. Yeah. Like, yeah. Tablet, Dr. Sprinkles. Turn on the TV, billboard. Dr. Sprinkles.
Want to remember? Right?
You listen to the radio, Dr. Sprinkles, it's everywhere. So I get it. Makes sense.
And it'd be like, oh man, I don't remember what happened. Sprinkle it on me, baby. Like, that was the tagline.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's 100 sprinkles.
It's a sprinkles. Right? It was, you could call, there was a number you could call. It was a 1-800 number. It was free. I remember we prank called it all the time as kids, right? And then
it's oddly enough, though, you know what I do remember? This is totally off topic, but around this time, fucking Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo was fucking everywhere.
That's right.
Miss Hotline.
Yeah, yeah, you remember Miss Cleo?
Friends Hotline.
You'd be you'd be staying at home at school from school, sick or whatever, and you'd be watching The Price Is Right, and you'd get about 45 commercials for Mrs. Cleo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember her. Yeah, big. That's So it's like I would say that this is what kind of led them to because their experiences with the hypnosis. So the hypnotist, who I believe, I don't think the hypnotist was ever named, but Dr. they Sprinkles. Were.
They assume you'd know, so they didn't name it. They assume that you'd know those Dr. Sprinkles.
It's 2005. They didn't have to name it,
Dan. It's the fucking year of Sprinkles, Dan. I've talked about this.
Well, yeah, Jesus. Okay. If it is the notorious...
Come on.
You know, the only way it wasn't is if they called the hotline, right? Maybe they got one of his associates.
That's fair.
If it wasn't her...
But he might review... Hey, you know he reviewed the call for quality assurance.
Absolutely.
At the very least.
They got their hypnosis degree from Sprinkles University.
Well, if it wasn't Susan Clancy, she ended up... She didn't do the hypnosis. She did partake in not just this one case. She did a whole bunch, and she wrote a book,
right?
Abducted, How People Come to Believe They Were Kidnapped by Aliens. And in the end, the summary of the book is she claims that, you know, the people who are claimed to be abducted are usually sane, intelligent people who unwittingly created these false memories from like a toxic or traumatic memory.
Really?
That's what she says.
That's her conclusion. Listen. That's her opinion, though.
Let's kick it back to that playground. Little Clayton's having a great time. He's pushing his pet rock on the swing set. He's having a great time. This shitty van just kind of like starts strolling up, looking super shitty. The door opens up and it's like, hey, little man, you want some of this candy? Come over here. I'm going to give you some of this candy. Traumatic as fuck. He got abducted. He doesn't want to think about that. He doesn't want to think about that candy. Nobody does.
Dude, and think about how easy it would have been to lure a kid in the 70s. Like, there was no... I don't think they had warnings. We barely were warned when we were kids.
Are you kidding me? Dude, my mom was on fucking Oprah. She was watching Ricky Lake.
Oh, no.
I thought for sure I would...
I would be 70s. Hey, 70s would be right in the middle of Satan.
Listen, here's a story. Again, completely like off
Stranger
topic.
Danger.
But, dude... I've got abducted one time. Literally, this guy snatched. No, I'm serious. We're at the fucking mall and I'm at Toys and Wheels and where my mom's walking past Toys and Wheels at the mall. I just take a hard right. I take a Randy and I was like, because she was not taking me. I'm going on my own. She keeps going, talking to her friend. Nobody pays attention. I go to Toys and Wheels. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at the Ninja Turtles. I'm looking at the G.I. Joes. Someone grabs me. Scoops me up in the arm and starts going. And I'm kind of like looking up and I'm like, oh, that's not my mom. Like, I don't know who the fuck this person is. So I freak the fuck out, get out of his arm and run away and find my mom. I didn't even tell my mom till I was an adult because all she talked about was like, you got to be careful. Stranger danger. People are out here abducting people. I thought it was normal. Hey, I was like, hey, I almost got it. It almost happened to me. It's pretty normal. Like, is everybody
honestly,
talking
to be
about
realistic,
it
was probably in your best bet to leave that information away from Sally at the time because a scene was about to be made. People were about to get hit in that mall who may or may not have tried to abduct you.
She would have got the doors locked and nobody was leaving.
Oh, yeah. She would have been grabbing people by the collar, shaking them. Is this the guy?
Random people would have fucking like slip-on sandal marks on their forehead because she was taking everybody out. But yeah, anyways, tangent night, sorry.
No, it's fucking...
That fits in with Susan Clancy's theory. Now she published this book and I believe Donna and Clayton, like their case was included in this book, or at least she talked about it in an interview with NPR, like doing the work for the book. And she said that they kind of just threw out a request for people with experiences, a UFO alien abduction experiences. And they kind of took the ones that they kind of, you know, they sifted through, they got a bunch of them and then they kind of sifted through them and these ones came out. So these is one of the couples that she worked with specifically was them. Donna and Clayton, like they didn't really, they were hesitant to come forward. That's their claim is like in the initial days of them kind of discovering or, you know, recovering these memories, they were hesitant to come forward saying that they didn't want to come out and say that this stuff was what happening to them unless they kind of had a, you know, kind of what was going on. So when they did the regressive hypnosis with the hypnotist, who I believe had worked with,
I just want to add to like when they were interviewed and when they were hypnotized and stuff, they did it separately.
Right.
They weren't together.
Right. And they came,
how did this come to be? Is my curiosity. Like, were they fucking into a bottle of wine playing Never Have I Ever? Never Have I Ever Got Abducted by Aliens? And they're like, oh shit. Like, how did they find this out?
Like, I like to imagine they're sitting at the breakfast table and they're eating breakfast, like kind of like looking around and be like, you remember what happened last night? What did we do? And they were like, huh, funny you should ask. I don't remember. I can't recall myself. And then they just start getting into it and, you know, memories start flooding back in.
They saw one of Dr. Sprinkle's commercials and they're like, oh shit, this guy can help us out. That's,
from the abduction case we talked from like Benny and Barney Hill and onwards, like we've talked about abduction cases. That kind of is how it starts. Like, you know, it's, I think even like Whitley Strieber.
Never have I ever, sitting at
the breakfast table in the morning and something kind of just clicks. Like you see something, whether it's like, you know, it's the cold steel of your fork or something reminds you of that, the steel table that they put you on or the weird runny eggs or something or whatever. It just like reminds you.
Is it Dead Zone with Christopher Walken?
Yeah. You see some bubbles in your coffee, you know, that form the head of like a gray and you're like freak, you know, it's just something that, you know, sets off a,
you see the pickle jar
chain reaction. Yeah,
babies. God damn it. For some reason, I think these pickles belong in a museum.
I think it was probably something like that. They got a hold of this hypnotist who, I guess they looked up and who had experience working with abductee cases before. And so, yeah, this is kind of that drew them into this and then worked into the, you know, them getting picked up by local media outlets and then onto the nationally the O'Reilly factor for their 5 minutes and then kind of just, you never hear about it again. Like it was kind of
The interesting thing, some of the interesting tidbits of their like regression is that they had very similar description of the beings, like their stories really lined up, not together.
It's almost they live together and are married and spend a lot of time with each other so they could come up with the story together.
But see that, nonsense. That's insane.
Why would you think that? That's crazy.
You think married couples talk to each other?
There's not a chance.
Yeah. What? You should get a psychiatrist.
It's interesting because I thought one of the interesting things is I'm like, okay, well, even let's say, like, let's look at all the kind of spectrums of this. Like, you know, maybe they are experiencers. Maybe they are having unique alien abduction experiences and there's this thing where they've been pushed together. We've talked about that. The other intriguing thing is I was like, some of these lies that are being told, like, especially if like a fetus was taken from you and you were pregnant and they took your baby, that's a big fucking lie.
There would be medical records.
Well,
that's there would be medical records of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Why? What if you were tested? What if you tested yourself pregnant? You hadn't gone to the doctor yet, and then it's gone.
Yeah, why? Let's talk about how far along.
That's
like,
true.
You can, right? Like, let's be honest. If she pissed on a stick and was pregnant, and then a day later she got abducted by aliens and wasn't, I don't think she'd be making as much of a scene.
That's one of the things that bothered about me. Just the lack of details in this whole account. It's like they say that she had a fetus taken, or she claims she had a fetus taken, but there's nothing. Like there's no, like, we went to a doctor, we talked to a doctor. It's not anywhere in here. I try to find books about this case. Like sometimes you can find some pretty good books about alien abduction cases that go a little bit more in depth. But these 2005 articles about their experiences are very bare bones, like nothing. They just like, we got abducted by aliens.
And they discuss like having drawings and stuff, and it's like you can't find the fucking drawings anywhere.
Can't find those.
But what I was going to say is, that's the interesting sketchbooks. That's a big lie.
Release the sketchbooks
for one of them to say, and now two of them to wholeheartedly believe and tell this lie. I'm like, okay, so if they're not telling the truth, they're lying. This has to be a very unique case in the realm of psychology, where you have these two people whose traumas are now they've blended their make-believe story and they both wholeheartedly believe it. Either way, that's a very, like, that'd be a very interesting kick because you're like, both of these people are not backing down from this. If this is like, they wholeheartedly believe experience. And that, and it's part of the, when you watch your interview, that's what I like. They're like, well, we were there. Like, we don't have to prove shit to no one. Yeah, like, we were there.
I mean, I get that they don't have to prove it, but at the same time, like, let's add some validity to the mix and be like, pull the fucking lie detector out. Let's do it then. Like, we don't have to prove it to you, but if you want me to, I will.
Honestly though, with what I know about lie detectors, I don't know if I'd ever take a lie detector. Like, especially if they were like,
I've taken three lie detectors.
It's going to make you look guilty.
Three.
Yeah.
I've taken three.
If there was an investigation right now and I knew I didn't do it, I knew wholeheartedly, I had nothing to do with this. You got the wrong guy. They're like, take a lie detector to prove it. I would go, no, absolutely not.
I've done three of them. And I honest to God think the point of using them
stress.
Is just to break you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
want to use it thing. And break you by looking at you in the face and being like, you're fucking full of shit. You're lying. Because no matter who you are, every time I've taken the lie detector, I've been sweating bullets and shitting my pants for the entire time. And I've still passed them. Like, my blood pressure's up. My heart rate's up. Doesn't matter what question you ask.
It's not
what's your
a
name?
Lie. Ah, if you believe it.
I don't know. Like, you know, because I'm stressed out the whole fucking time. You know me.
Is your name Andrew? I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. Like, but that's how you feel, dude.
Don't
that's
you just how clench you feel. Your butt cheeks? Clench your butt cheeks every answer?
No, there's one thing I was reading. You put a tack in your shoe and you poke. Yeah. You poke.
Just have like a small stone or something. Fuck that. Something that to kind of like focus on.
I just
on
lied about everything right from the start. Throw off the baseline.
Yeah.
Then the guy has no idea what's going on. That's the ticket.
Like, if you're stressed the entire time, the baseline's fucked anyways.
They ask you
like
your height. They ask you your weight. Lie, boom, off the bat.
I have no idea.
What's your penis size? Lie.
What's your height? 5'9". I'm 5'9", I swear.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say it long enough, it becomes true. I mean,
I thought it was true for the longest time. It's not.
I got measured cleats on. Like Brayden was saying, you know, on the other side of the fence, though, but having a case of couples, married couples, kind of reinforcing each other's narratives in this case, like alien abductions, but something else, that actually isn't that unusual. And if you look into...
Really?
You know, yeah, like having couples actually have like that. That's one of the things I think we mentioned. We might have talked about that. At least one of the psychologists or that did the Betty and Barney Hill case was talking about how Betty he felt that or he had the in his opinion it was that Betty was the one generating the experiences Barney was just drawn into it and
he
was having these same things
1000% because there's 95% of the shit that Jessica's like, hey, you remember when this happened? You remember that? Remember when you said this? And I'm like, fuck, I guess I don't fucking know. Like, really?
Did I?
You know, and then you don't want to be like, I guess I was probably ignoring her and I don't want her to know this. So yes, I absolutely remember. Of course I remember.
Of course.
I swear I was there. I was there. I love you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You remember? Were you there?
Yeah. Like that's, I swear.
But it could very well be something like that where it's like one of them, not sure which one maybe have had instigated it, but I'm not discounting that this could actually be an actual alien.
You know which one. All right.
Had been saying something and it sounds, you know, it sounds crazy. And then the other one's like, I don't want them to feel crazy. So I will kind of feel like it. Yeah. Yeah. Or you kind of start out being like, yeah, maybe that is something. And then
it's, you're making it
you
very
just,
nice.
You construct.
The guy
this
lives
reality.
With her. The guy lives with her. He got an ultimatum. He had to say yes. Absolutely. Remember Clayton when you were abducted in 1973 before I met you? Do you remember that? Yeah, babe, of course. Of course, I was abducted. I was at the playground. Just scoop me up from the playground. I remember exactly.
But in the end, like,
love you.
These two didn't profit. Like, that was one of the questions, no. too. Like, you're not profiting on this that O'Reilly asked. Like, you're not profiting. Why would you put yourself in the spotlight and make, like, he even said, like, people are going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that to yourself? And they go, like, well, we want to get our word out and we want to find, like, help other, like, people who had similar experiences.
Bill O'Reilly looked across the table from her. It was like four guys with receding hairlines in their 30s are going to make fun of you on a podcast. Do you understand the gravity of this?
I'm not making fun of
you. You get it?
There's no...
Well, that's one of the things. That's a huge portion. That like you said, Zell, is like, They're not doing the circuit. You don't see them at conventions. You cannot find a fucking interview with them anywhere. And I'm sure they're still alive somewhere.
They don't have any books. They don't have any books of their accounts. Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, it's,
they didn't they hit the peak. Any money off this.
They hit the peak. We talked about it. They were on the O'Reilly factor. Where the fuck else are they going to go from there, boys?
But I'm going to say like that.
Book deals, radio shows, coast to coast. Like you could have gone, you could have did the whole fucking.
O'Reilly factor.
You could have done
the whole. Like booth Betty set and Barney Hill's
granddaughter. Daughter's still doing stuff. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah, she's in the UFC smashing people.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's a fucking killer.
What's her name? What's her name, Andrew?
Oh.
Hill?
Let me look it up. She's a fucking killer, though.
That to me does speak volumes to me because I'm like, well, okay, well, then maybe it is just... Because, like, when you... Some of their accounts, they say, like, hey, listen, like... We just wanted to spread the word because we thought we were going fucking crazy until we started connecting with other people that were experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And we just don't want other people that may be experiencing it because it happens to normal people like us.
Angela
we want
Hill,
people to know that they can, there's organizations and there's other people that have had this and you can reach out and we're more than willing to discuss and help you through the process.
Yeah. That's why I totally don't discount their story. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. Yeah, it's really easy to say like, yeah, they cooked it up. In the bedroom, like, all right, you're going to do this because for whatever reason, we're going to go and we're going to get our 2 minutes of fame.
That would be the best fantasy football fucking loser thing.
All right, you got to say
good idea because we actually still are looking for something.
We are looking for Braden's complete loser award.
That's true.
Complete fucking dud award. Yeah, you got to go concoct some ridiculous story.
Yeah.
All right, hey, Castnet will pick it up.
Hey, you were taken by Bigfoot up to the mountains. And he had his way with you for 4 days.
Yeah. Oh, he did. And he liked it.
Yeah. And I still tell you, I still got some of that DNA I'm holding.
And I still walking with a limp.
Yeah.
But
my neck hurts. My back hurts.
I said, I don't discount that this is the abduction phenomenon is real, that this is really happening to people. This one was just like, their case was very... Definitely wasn't well documented. It didn't get a lot of coverage and it didn't really get a really thorough looking over about what was kind of going on. Because usually you can find like, which I found strange, which I kind of found that a little bit unusual, is that like this case is listed on at least, you know, a couple, you know, top five, you know, whatever, garbage websites that kind of be like top five alien abductions. And this, some websites put this up here.
Thanks, asshole, for shitting on mine and Zell's research, all right?
Come on, man. No one wanted...
I just thought this was weird.
Dan's too busy on the beach in Thailand to come up with the case file, so me and Brayden had to quickly fucking sit down and be like, what are we going to do?
This is what you follow. I came up, I picked Pickle Baby, and you guys fucking brought this shit. Come on.
But this does bring up a lot of good discussion about the alien abduction, just the phenomenon, like we said, the actual just phenomenon of it happening to people, like what's actually going on, I guess you could say, or you know what is.
I mean, there's not a lot to of good discussion case though. Like I've been laughing and joking and cracking jokes, but the fact that they didn't monetize this fucking story at all, that is huge for me. Like that impresses the fuck out of me.
But I don't feel like, okay, so I don't feel like that is really the thing to do anymore, right? I came across an article talking about
Travis Walton. I shook his hand at a convention 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
If you can call that a handshake. Yeah. Let's get real here.
I shook his hand in my hand.
Oh, did he strong arm you? Did my throng arm?
I call it a hand curtsy, where you like, kind of like touch someone and you're like,
okay. Oh, it feels so uncomfortable. Like, it's like slimy, man. I'm not into that.
Yeah, just like
his fingers were loose.
Fingers, and like you grab it and it's just like, break your hand?
Curled all his fingers. Yeah. I was like, oh, ooh. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's not cool.
So I read like an article from like 2012 talking about how it seemed even then that the alien abduction phenomenon had kind of been falling off or seemed to be in the last like couple of years had been thing. And we were talking about before the show is like alien abductions. Like when I was a kid, like like early 90s, like early 90s and stuff, I legitimately thought that alien abduction was going to be something serious, that you would have to, like, this is something that you would deal with in your adult life.
Quicksand.
Yeah, that and quicksand and the Bermuda Triangle. You're like, why aren't people more worried about this? Why, you know, I watched
everyone should be concerned.
I watched the
90s cartoons had you seriously concerned about quicksand. Like, legitimately concerned about quicksand.
I'm still concerned about quicksand. Though I've never fallen in yet.
You know, when we, like I said, when we walked the McPherson tapes, when we talked about those ones, about the assault of the extraterrestrial video, the tapes of them being what was it, Lake County or whatever. Yeah, I thought that was real when I was a kid. I was like, this shit's really happening. Why are we not doing anything about this? Why are not people doing? And you know, so but now I'm a little bit more skeptical, but it's still like, according to a 2012 National Geographic poll, you have at least 77% of Americans believe that aliens have visited Earth. You know, have at least visited, right? So it's like the majority of people believe in aliens. Like,
there's more people that believe in extraterrestrial visitation than believe in like a religion,
right? One of the stats was like 77% of people believe like the aliens. That's more people than you know, relatively, than believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Yeah, like that's
if you take every like the belief in like every major religion, like say of a full population of a country. So like say like half the people are, or 60% are Christian, 77% believe in aliens.
This is this is an American study though, right?
This one is American.
Right, this is American.
Okay, that makes sense. Because there are certain countries where you'd be like this, like we're
and I think we kind of touched on it, that it does seem sometimes, at least like, you know, within North America, like United States, a lot of the alien abduction phenomenon is, a lot of it's kind of just United States. It's very U.S. centric, like all of the kind of stuff that's like, we seem more preoccupied about the alien abduction phenomenon than other countries and other cultures. It just seems like it's kind of just a central thing that has become part of our, like our core belief system, that it's like, yeah, like aliens are here.
It's very American, you know, to be, Dan, 30%, thinking that you guys are the only ones that are concerned about this.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm just saying like relatively, okay. But
it's, we had fucking, you know, Charlie Red Star terrorizing the fucking... the prairies, bud.
Buddy, we never forget about that, pal. Gavin still didn't get to play in the fucking playoffs, bud. We know right? about that.
You're
right?
down here talking about, oh yeah, we're fucking worried. We yeah, were worried bet, up bud. Here.
What about Peru? Peru, or was it Peru or Chile? Chili's? The most, huh?
Chili's
yeah. restaurant is the most common place run to encounter UFO. We said that. We saw it. That's a fact.
I don't think we said that.
Yes, we did. I said about a pickle baby. Yeah, pickle baby. You don't remember pickle baby?
Chile is, in fact, the most common place to the highest
Chile's.
UFO
Chile's.
Abduction cases and UFO sightings.
It is.
Hey, so if you go with that, then, so if you take the whole world as like, say just like, the whole world, more people believe in aliens than any other religion. If you take every country, every... You know what, but at the same time...
It's because Jesus is an alien.
So at the same time, I've had this conversation with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses at my door.
Can you record that next time, please? Yeah. Can you fucking record that us next time?
No joke. Makes sense. They come to the door and they go, can I interest you in the like the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And I go...
Copy of the Watchtower.
And I go, okay. So I entertain it for a bit and I go... So what you're telling me? That's why. Wait, I was like, what you're telling me is Jesus is not from this earth. And they go, "That's right. You know, he's a heavenly being, light being, blah blah blah." I was like, he's an extraterrestrial. He's an alien. And they go, "Well, not exactly." And I go, "Well, what's the difference?" And they're like, "Well, aliens aren't real." And I went, "How do you know God's real?"
Hey, bud.
And they go, what's in our book? And I went, it's on the internet.
I got a book right behind me telling me about wizards, buddy. Like, what do you want to do?
And then
this?
The conversation ends with them going like, oh, thank you very much for listening to us. Here's our card. And I go, yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
See, I'd like that.
Welcome back anytime. We could talk about Jesus the alien.
Normally when they answer my door, it's alhamdulillah. And they're like, ah, we're the fuck out of here, bro.
Just turn and run.
Yeah, they're like, anyways, it's all good, man.
Yeah, just lost cause here.
Yeah.
But I would say like a lot of the American stuff. I mean, it stems from, you could probably be, I mean, what was the biggest show on TV like during the 90s up to early 2000s?
X-Files.
Like, what was one of the biggest?
X-Files for sure.
Yeah, because you guys are fucking nerds. I was watching the X-Files.
So maybe the greatest theme song ever written.
That's right.
And
I listened, there was a different show that David Duchovny was in, and I wasn't missing it on Friday nights.
Mm, Red Shoe Diaries, baby, all the way.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But the back to my point about being alien abduction cases seem to have fallen off. It does seem like that. Like, you know, a late, you know, maybe early 2000s, like after the you know, ratings were falling off for the X-Files, you know, they lost David Duchovny and they replaced him with T-1000. And
with who?
Even though he's great.
Yeah, but I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, there seems to be this, at least in the article I was reading, they kind of made the point that there's this precipitous fall off of alien abduction reporting in the news, at least, or, you know, in, I guess, say mainstream media, about, you know, post 9/11, like all that stuff kind of fell off. You didn't really have a lot of UFO reports. You had basically like the British counterpart to MUFON, which had like 1,500 members at one point. It got shut down because of lack of sightings, lack of UFO sightings, which seems strange. But and you had this thing, like you just didn't see them in the news anymore. The alien abduction things, you see the Whitley Strieber thing, and like every single, at least like once or every other week, you'd have back in the 90s, you'd have a picture of Whitley Strieber's fucking alien staring at from the back of his fucking communion book. God, a creepy fuck. Staring at you from the fucking news, you know? It's like somebody being abducted by aliens in, you know, South Central Florida or whatever. And now it's like, you don't see it anymore. You don't see it on really a lot on stuff, except maybe in like the New York Post and the Sun.
Well, and that's weird to me too, because it's a weird thing, because it's like so ridiculed, where it's like, it's almost like if you were to come forward, you're almost instantly ridiculed with this kind of stuff. And I think like news stations don't want to run it because they instantly don't believe you. But I'm like, it seems like we're in a weird time where they'll run shit that is not 100% not true based on like a line that they just want to get the story first, but that they won't run someone's UFO report at 1 a.m. on a 24-hour news cycle.
I would also say that probably, because we have all this. So we have like, you know, we have the CNN, and I wouldn't even call them, you know, they are media, but they're not like news media. I wouldn't say that. They're not like legitimate news outlets, but like, you know, Reuters, AP, all this stuff. Like, you don't have a lot of this stuff kind of popping up now. And I would almost say that due to the advent of social media becoming more things, one of the opinions of some people is that perhaps what actually happened is like these alien abduction cases are still happening. It's now censored. That people are able to connect with other abductee experiences, UFO experiences. It's a lot easier to do that now. Like we said, like on the O'Reilly factor, they were reaching out to find, you know, saying that these things, but now you can just go on to, you can literally just go on to Facebook, and then you can type in something that happened to you. I had a weird memory loss, or, you know, I had a weird kind of sensation. I couldn't move my arms for a bit, and I felt something like hovering over me, and then boom, aliens. Like, boom, it's like right there.
You know what, though? But what if, like, these are still significant events? You can talk about it with other people, but you're still going to want to bring it to the news. You're still going to want your, you know, let's say your government officials, but whatever,
like,
to know about it.
But like Brain's point said,
maybe it's being censored.
But maybe to Brain's point, they know that they're going to be ridiculed. And I would say that it's easier to go into these. Yeah. And no, I would say it's still a taboo subject.
There's never been a more accepting time than now.
I would say.
If anything, things are way more accepted in 2005. Now, like, it's way easier to be accepted for your weird shit now.
The other thing is that just kind of sparked my interest is that I wonder how many amazing stories there are, like, circulating in these, like, in these support networks online of people like have that do not want the publicity, do not want to monetize. They just want answers for the experience that they're having, and they're getting those. And we're the alien theorists are missing out on these golden nuggets of
the nougat.
Alien abduction stories.
The chewy nougat. Well,
and what I'm worried about is that, you know, that these places, these spaces that the abductees are kind of gravitating to, I'm worried that some of these places are becoming echo chambers. Like, I'm worried about some people are going in with these, and maybe they've had an episode of sleep paralysis. Maybe they've had
called the dream police, an
epileptic fit or something that they had undiagnosed, something like that. And they go into these places and these people reinforce.
Why is epileptic fit have anything to do with alien abduction?
Well, having like a hallucination or something, like they have a, like an epileptic, like
you might be postictal for a bit and confused and not know where you are, but you're not being like, I saw aliens.
Yeah, but that's a symptom of alien abduction, like being confused and being like, what happened? Like, I don't, you know, at being confused, missing time.
Well, being postictal, like but I've never heard anybody like,
yeah, but down on your point of social media causing echo chambers, 100%, because that does it with every topic.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm worried about
that. But at the same
time, just worried about that.
And yeah, that's fine. But I just want to go back because we talked about after 9/11, they said X-Files, it didn't feel right anymore. Also, we've talked about it before. And back, I think, when Stephen Greer was more legit and he had more of, he was on a mission to disclose a bunch of stuff.
He did good stuff. I would
right?
admit that. Like, when he originally came out, there's some good work being done.
In May of 2001, he put that, he had those 20 high-ranking officials, government workers, claim that they had witnessed evidence of aliens or UFOs, and they were willing to testify in front of Congress. Televised, documented, and another 400 people on the side also willing to give their testimonial. That was all going through. September 11th happened. It was gone. Like, all that work of all those people who came forth, it was overshadowed by now the war on terror, which was lasting 20 years. And it just, all those people who came forward just kind of I said it. And then they just disappeared into obscurity.
I mean, maybe that's what this is. Maybe people are still coming to the news and stuff with these cases and not censorship either, but the journalists are being like, man, listen, nobody takes this shit seriously. We don't want it anymore.
Yeah. We need, it doesn't sell enough fear. We need something else.
Yeah. We don't want it. We want, we want fucking bullshit. We want stuff that's going to cause outrage.
Want the clicks.
And maybe just that it's not bringing the heat like it used to.
Well, we got a couple more we're going to go through. Yeah. Of those,
but maybe not all the abductions are about fear. That's what I'm saying.
all the abductions are about fear. Take a quick beer break before we get into those ones?
Yeah, we got a couple more abductions we're going to go through. Grab a beer. We'll be right back.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
So Brayden's theory was talking about, in some of these abduction cases, and we kind of started off the beginning of the show talking about how perhaps what's interesting is you don't get a lot of couples, or at least the ones the really big cases. You get Betty and Barney Hill, and we've got this one case that's kind of buried in there as well. But you don't get a lot of, on just a quick search of abduction cases, you don't get married couples both getting abducted or something like this.
Right.
But you have at least, you have some people talking about, like Brayden said, perhaps the aliens are running some type of interstellar dating game or whatever. They're playing fucking The Sims.
Glory hole.
They're playing The Sims. Sim Earth. Bringing people together like this. Because at least you have, according to a Huffington Post article from January 26th in 2012, you have Fran Drescher, the nanny, talking about in her younger years, she said that she was abducted by aliens, or she's an
experiencer. Now this makes perfect fucking sense to me, because that woman sounds exactly like what an alien thinks a person sounds like. Like, a real human does not laugh like that. Like, that's
are
not
you saying
a real
they
laugh.
Gave her that voice? Like, they,
absolutely, they she's an alien imposter. She's an alien imposter. She's a fembot for sure.
She talks like how the aliens think we talk.
Yeah, exactly. that's an alien doing a human impersonation, 1,000%.
But her, so she was talking about how she was abducted by aliens, and that she met her now ex-husband, Peter Mark Jacobson, in high school. I think they met when they were 15, is what I read.
High school sweethearts.
And so...
Always works out.
She's Always. She talked about how in, you know, after, you know, a few years after they had met, you know, they started dating, she talked about her experience being abducted when she was younger. And apparently, you know, Peter had the same kind of experiences, and they realized this. And, Drescher came to the conclusion that she's like, I think that somehow we were programmed to meet. She claims that they both have a scar, and they have it's the exact same looking scar in the exact same spot. And she believes that perhaps like aliens implanted some type of chip in her hand.
She doesn't say she's like aliens implanted a chip in my hand.
Yeah. She's got the X-ray evidence to prove it.
Yeah, right? This little interview is
they
is
have
great,
the X-ray evidence. Like,
no,
they don't.
Come on.
So I mean, it was in the Huffington Post. This is real.
Yeah, come on,
Huffington Post. So I don't know. They made these claims about Fran Drescher, being set up with her now ex husband. I guess the aliens can't get it right 100% of the time. So you know.
Well, once they figured out that it was aliens that set them up, they got divorced. They're like, this isn't real. This was not meant to be.
Yeah,
we can't do it.
Once they came to terms with what it is, they weren't going to be manipulated by
their alien overlords. They wanted their own free will. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good for them.
Fight the powers.
But, like we said, the abductions, a lot of abductions are fear-inducing events. They are absolutely stone-cold terrifying. About what happens during these events, and a lot of the experiencers have what most people agree is PTSD from these experiences.
Absolutely.
But not all of them are the fire in the sky, put you on the table and do it like this. You know, some claim that they actually had these generally well-being or well-meaning extraterrestrials come to meet
them. We call
them.
It fire when you pee.
Yeah, these aren't the fucking terrestrials that use this triangle probes, right?
No. So that's fucking... bit. Which, there's something to be said about when, or something to be examined probably later in another time. When the shift came to, it used to be, like even in Betty Barney Hill case, the aliens were giving them information, telling them about, it's a generally—
star systems and shit.
Right, and they're generally giving them like feelings of goodwill towards humans. Like, we want you, we have faith in you, we want to uplift you. Everything's about loving one another, all of this. And then there's a shift somewhere, I have to take a closer look at it, but it's like there's a shift somewhere where it became more violent, more—
well, what if it's just
more things like
different
that?
Different breed of alien? Like, it's a different type of alien that's doing this, right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, when did it happen?
Check. When the shitty aliens took over.
Or maybe early
the ones with
on.
The fucking butt fetishes.
Maybe early on there wasn't like a non-communicative thing, or some sort of directive to not interfere. So these things were like, hey, we're interacting, we're having some fun. And then they're like, hey, listen, stop that. Don't talk to them, right? Pick them up. Do your business, drop them off, like keep it cold, calculated.
We don't spread those cheeks and you just fucking do it.
Yeah.
All right. In and out. Bingo, bingo, no bongo.
Yeah. In there.
Let's see your probe set up. Nope. Those aren't pointy enough.
We told you no more triangles. All right.
Yeah.
It's got to be a cylinder. Tapered, ideally.
They don't like it. Most don't.
Most don't. And
some
like,
ask for the
perhaps,
triangle.
Yeah, perhaps this is some type of— it perhaps is taboo to some alien cultures, like for example London actress Abby Bella's relationship with a being from the Andromeda galaxy. So June 22nd of 2021, there was an article printed in the New York Post about the Instagram stuff. Is she a real actress? I'm not sure. I don't know.
She only has 2,000 followers. Ugh. So
Plan.
I don't know how much of they're like, oh, an Instagram influencer. I was like, who the fuck is she? Like,
she's
not a big influencer.
With that current reach, she's going to reach like 200 people of those 2,000 if you're lucky.
And I will be, if you're just curious about the situation and you want to go on Google and you want to look her up, make sure it's Bella with one L and not two.
Oh.
Or make sure it's got two L's and you might find some interesting shit on the internet. Because I found some interesting shit on the internet.
Your own way more interesting than this.
I got caught up and I was like, oh, my fucking private search is not on right now. Incognito! Yeah, dude. For real. Zero exaggeration.
So apparently, Bella began her her interactions with this ET intelligence when she, I guess, she said she reportedly joked online one day that she wanted an alien abductor because an alien to abduct her because she was bored of the pandemic. I guess, you know, in that time where we're all kind of stuck inside. Yeah. And so she reports that, you know, quote, on May 31st, a voice in my dream said, "Wait in the usual spot." Didn't tell her where that was, and she wasn't really. You know, there wasn't like a usual spot. She said that she had like that normally was, but she said, although I had never heard the voice before, I knew what he meant. So I don't
know. Arby's.
Beef and chips.
They got the meats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which apparently the usual place meant her bedroom window. I guess.
So he didn't really have to say go to the usual place because she's fucking there all the time. It's not like he could have just waited.
Her visitation occurred apparently around 12:15 a.m., where a large flying saucer, you know, lowered outside of her window, I guess waking her up because she had fallen asleep before this. She was asleep, and then this had woken her out when she had a bright green beam transport her inside the UFO.
Oh, shit.
Now, Bella said that she encountered 5 aliens. That were, she describes as very tall and slender, human-esque. And
was there a coach involved? Shitting on the coach?
and in a scene reminiscent of the film Contact, Jodie Foster, you have the, she says she couldn't see them and that they were kind of, like they were kind of blurred out. And then, but to her, they communicated apparently telepathically, telling her that she wasn't ready to see them in their true
form. You are not worthy to see us in our true form.
So she could only see them, only like the general outline, these blurred outline of these creatures, but just knew that these were not human.
Well, and she gave us like an unreal depiction, a drawing of her gentleman suitor.
Very detailed.
Unbelievable. Zell, do you happen to have that anywhere you could quickly pull it up?
You got to just drop that me in the middle.
It doesn't matter.
Let me describe it.
I think I can describe it in detail.
Hold on. I got you right now.
Well, if you got it, show your screen.
Yeah, it's right here. Look at it.
Show your screen.
It's right
here.
I just did it. Where is it? Right there. Yeah. That's it.
It's pretty close. So if you're listening, hold on, we'll do an interactive game for the podcast listeners.
Okay.
Get a pen and a paper. Pause the podcast right here. Get a pen and paper. Okay. So if you want to draw her gentleman suitor, lay your piece of paper down. First, I need you to draw a circle.
Okay.
A perfect circle, as circle as you can get.
As circular as you can get.
And then where the mouth would be, I need you to draw a horizontal line for the mouth.
Horizontal.
Yeah. And then for the eyes, where you think the eyes would be, draw 2 more smaller horizontal eyes for the eyes. And send us your pictures to alientheaters@gmail.com. We want to see your renditions.
Best rendition wins something.
Make sure you give it a slight green hue. Apparently this is continuing her description, and that these are, I guess the eyes were big black eyes with human fears. They include eyebrows. She does report definitely that there were eyebrows.
Not in a drawing.
if you want to like rub a little ink above their ant, your
you want to smudge?
Yeah, smudge a little bit. We'll accept that as well.
But one of these extraterrestrials apparently expressed her feelings with her, and she really felt a connection, some type of deep emotional connection with this one. And Bella said that she didn't get his name, but they felt exactly the same towards each other. The feelings were reciprocated.
They wanted to bang. See,
that's a scary thing. That description of this, if I'm to believe this account, that scared me because she's like, well, they don't really talk. they converse telepathically.
Why? Because extremely long distant relationations never work. Is that what you're worried about?
Yeah. This is what
light years
this is
away.
This is a nightmare. Yeah. How is this going to work? There's going to be, you know, jealousy issues, all tons of stuff going on. What I was saying is that, like, if these things are telepathically speaking to you and can evoke emotions in you telepathically, then there's a really good chance that they're able to manipulate you by projecting feelings to you. Like, so it's like, you're like, oh, we're feeling the same, but they're just projecting that feeling to you and being able to manipulate you very easy that way. Be like, right? Like, you're like, oh yeah, we're both feeling the same. It's like, no, he's looking at you with his fucking beady shark eyes, making you feel that way. He just wants some of that earth freak.
I believe they still are maintaining their relationship today, but there is some...
So long distance relationships do work. Right, then.
But that's not the only obstacle that they have to overcome. According to Bella, in the Andromedan culture, he's from the Andromeda galaxy, apparently, it is taboo for aliens to engage in romantic relationships with humans. I'm not sure if it's all alien races.
There's so many different species. Like, you got to be specific here. The Nordics are for sure fucking us.
Yeah, because then we wouldn't have Zell.
Right.
Right?
That's proof. Yes, that's one under the proof. We have just proof right there.
You spilled my secrets to the world.
I'm not sure if they've actually consummated their relationship physically. I don't think that's made clear. I think it's more of a emotional thing. Like, they communicate. It wasn't clear in the article, and I haven't followed her Instagram closely enough to be like if they're banging.
She'd come on for an interview.
Probably.
We should see. 100%.
We should see.
I don't want to have her.
Someone
on
reach
well,
out.
Maybe we'll see. The other thing that was interesting was that he runs the risk of being put in jail. So either he's a con or like we said, there's like some sort of non-interference thing where what he's doing is 100% illegal in the Galactic Federations. So he's looking at, you know, a couple light years behind bars.
Well, it's fucking interspecies erotica here.
Absolutely.
That's what they're saying. Like, they're probably not into it. This is the equivalent of a donkey show for them.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. He's got his four buddies like, should I?
What would you give me?
Yeah, well, they've had a couple space beers.
I want six Glorzoms.
Andromeda brews.
Oh, man, that's funny.
We are the intergalactic glory hole. This is
we've discussed this before. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're the intergalactic truck stop where people just bang in
come
the
to Earth where anything goes.
Yeah.
That should be Brayden's. Yeah, but that's Brayden's punishment, actually.
What's my punishment?
Is it doing a glory hole?
You get taken to town by an ET visitor.
I mean, what was the one with the sex gel? I mean, that one.
Listen, I don't want it to be. It's got to be something he doesn't enjoy.
Antonio Villaboas.
Villaboas.
Yeah, he's gonna like it way too much. It's got to be something he's not gonna.
I take
like
it back.
Yeah,
not fitting.
Yeah,
it's not embarrassing enough.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a typical Wednesday fun. Nothing new here.
But the alien abduction phenomenon is just from the surface, just like the stuff we've talked about here. And we'll probably talk about it again because
there's more to come.
You tell me there's going to be a Roman numeral 3?
There will
100%.
Be.
100%. Okay.
And 200 more files.
With Mr. T. Mr. T will be here.
Celebrity abduction stories and stuff. There's so many short quick ones.
I like
ones.
That, Dan. Clubber Lang, Rocky 3. That'll be nice. Here. That was a good touch.
Yeah. I can't say that you can totally write it off as just like even if you say, yes, it is some type of psychological thing. That is some kind of, I don't want to say mass hysteria because that's an overgeneralization, but saying it's something like this, like it's still interesting to me, even if that is, it is some kind of collective psychosis. That's still incredibly interesting and about what makes it, you know, what makes it profligate or whatever, like what You're makes right. it like why is it everywhere and why are there so many people making these claims, and you know, maybe it is real, maybe some aliens, but maybe it's not, maybe their percentage is really low, maybe like one in you know, 100 of these are actually happening.
There's got to be an influence of like pop culture, movies, TV, and the rest on some of those. There has to be. You can't ignore that. But there's some cases you're like, why would you come out and say that and just like put yourself in the public domain in that fashion, never profit off it, and then just
and disappear.
Like, I mean, when you look up Abby Bella, you type her into YouTube or whatever, every single one of her videos is her holding a blow up fucking alien.
Yeah, she's really
like, standing for her boyfriend.
Right?
Like that's her. This is her claim to fame, I think.
And it, for some people, it is.
She's in the New York Post.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's not the fucking O'Reilly report.
No.
But, I mean, it's New York O'Reilly Post. It's okay. Or the O'Reilly factor.
Yeah.
We're not talking pinnacle here, but.
Pretty close. I think the New York Post and O'Reilly factor are on the same page. It is a truly, I think, a deeply fascinating facet of human culture. Like, at least, you could say maybe it's mainly North American. Like a majority of the reports and detailed reports and documentation comes out of the United States, and like Europe to some extent, UK, it's something that you can keep talking about and new stuff will come out. Like, there's going to be stories. It's not like I said, like the reports have been falling off, but they haven't completely stopped. It's just, you have to kind of look for them. Now, you know, you're not going to see them on the local news report unless it's something really astounding. You know, it's like, you know, eight people, you know, multiple witnesses, all of that kind of stuff. There is a point to be said that maybe now, like the burden of proof is kind of increased for these kinds of reports. You know, back when you could talk about these things, it could have been anything happening. But now we've got smartphones, now we've got CCTV, we've got all that stuff, we've got satellite trackers, we've got all this stuff, internet, all of these things. And so now for the story to really break, to be really interesting, it has to kind of, you have to meet some of those, you know, those, you have to pass those before you can kind of like, the bullshit meter is a little bit higher now than it was back in like, you know, 1991.
Well, we got lots more abduction stories.
Oh, it's
for the third one.
Yeah.
4 years from now.
I mean,
look for that one coming down the pipeline.
We talk about abductions a lot in other, like a lot of them, a lot of the cases we've talked about, there's usually an abduction phenomena to it, but there's a lot more, you know, there are a lot more details of the cases usually. So this one was a fun one just to lump a couple together and, you know, kind of theorize on why, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, we could do a whole multi-part podcast about just the abduction phenomenon. There's entire books written about this. Susan Clancy, like we just mentioned, she wrote her book. John Mack's books, Jacques Vallée or whatever. Like all of them have written books and examined the abduction phenomenon just itself and looking at it from different perspectives. It's always a good time. Like it's always, I think, different approaches and what's being taken down, what's being examined, what is considered significant, what's not. It's a weird part of our culture, and I think it's going to be around. Like
it's not going anywhere.
Like it's not going anywhere.
So, yeah, it's really easy to dismiss some of the cases. Like it is because there's usually no proof. It's really just word against word. It's really easy to dismiss, but because there's so many and very similar all around the world, you gotta pay a little attention. You gotta give it a little credit.
I say so.
Yeah, it's you know, like our buddy on top of the what's the one I can't remember, my brain's fried, the guy got trapped in the tree with the robot aliens, the
Cisco Grove encounter.
That was a great one. You know, when those ones come out, those are really fantastic.
They're so like,
those
fun
are really great.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, and like I said, you don't get a lot of those anymore. You know, you don't get, some of my favorites, probably Cisco Grove and like Stardust Ranch. Like those.
Was that the samurai sword dude?
Yeah. He had to fight the aliens with the samurai sword.
I'm pretty sure that's a confidential on Patreon if you're looking for Stardust Ranch. Mm-hmm.
It's a really good one. And like those are some of my favorite ones. And I'm just like, this is wild, man. and some of them just don't have a lot of documentation. Some do. And, ones that take place over long periods of time, but We'll definitely end up re-examining this at some point because it's just new stuff comes out and there's lots of little stories to say about it.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. If nothing else, it's fun to just have the wonder of like why ETs would come here and be boning our women.
Yeah, why would they be interested?
What are you doing?
Tiny little dirt.
Yeah, dude, our women are fucking sexy, dude.
The whole galaxy wants to come here.
There's so many babes here. There's so many.
Yeah. She's like, you see Abby Bella with
and everybody knows Earth girls are easy.
Yeah,
that's true. It's true. It's true.
A documentary on it. You can look it up.
With, because, you know, Jeff Goldblum is an alien.
Let's, why don't we wrap this one up? What do we got?
Give us
Theory of the Week.
Theory of the Week.
All right, I'll do it up. If you want to get Theory of the Week, there's many ways to do it. You can be posted on our Facebook group, active on our Discord, send us something that laughs, or the easiest way and, you know, the most helpful to the show, leave us an awesome 5-star review. And that's exactly what Christian Smith did from the United States. He left us a
5-star
review. No, it's CRISNSMIFF.
Oh, he really fucked you over there.
Christian Smith.
Well, it's because he knew Braden was going to read this one.
Christian Smith.
So he made it difficult.
Is there a reason you picked this one, Braden?
No, it's just a new 5-star review with a nice long write-up. It says, best podcast freaking ever. I don't normally listen to podcasts, but I'm obsessed with this one. Braden's definitely number one theorist.
Oh, okay. There we go. That's what it was.
Got
it.
But for real, all of you bring something amazing to the show. And it wouldn't be the same if even just one of you guys left the show. I've been listening to this pod for years, and to this day, it's still the only podcast I've ever listened to more than just one episode.
Oh, bro, you got to get on some more podcasts. Dude.
Yeah, there's so many better ones.
There's better than this for sure. I appreciate it, though.
Just thank you for that, Christian Smith. You are the Theorite of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Picked strictly by Braid.
Yeah, we give him one every once in a while.
Every once in a while, that's fair.
Like the pad of stats there.
Yeah, I've got a little folder that says Braden's panderings, and I just choose from that.
That boosts your chances of Theory of the Week. All right, if you want to support the show, skip the ads, support your favorite podcast, you know where to go. AlienTheorist.com. Two ways to support. Supercast. Some people say Patreon's too complicated, they don't want the app, blah, blah, blah. Supercast is for you. Or, as we say every episode, also Patreon. They do the exact same thing. It's totally your choice. If you listen on Spotify, Supercast actually can get you the private feed right in Spotify. It's the only way to do that. This week's newest supporters: Aaron Prosser, Liz Young with a 1-year pledge, Mitch Hay goes up to a $10 pledge, Willie B, Cotton Kulak, a 4-year pledge, and huge shout out to Stankin' Ass,
baby.
A 1-year pledge at the top tier. We fucking appreciate it.
Woo! Beep, 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 beep.
Not Agent Mulder in disguise. Brant, the Space Mayan, Danny Poolman, and Jeremiah Bell. Thank you very much for supporting the show.
And as we always see at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in after hours.